So yeah, welcome to episode 71 of the Pickup Podcast. It is your boy Marcus with my co-host Ant and Reggie, and we are going to talk footballs and basketballs. There are playoffs, there are MVP candidates, there are losers, there are winners. We will talk about them all. Stay with us.
Yep. Blugger, blugger, boomer glot.
All right, so we're just going to lead it off with the most recent events. The NBA Finals got underway.
Trash.
The bubble finals, the Miami Heat and Los Angeles Lakers, with the Lakers with a resounding game one victory. A lot of people, myself included, have the Lakers as overwhelming favorites in the finals, but I don't think that it was supposed to get this ugly this early. Reggie, what were your game one takes?
I didn't want to side with the rest of the world, the 99%ers that are just calling it a quits from the start. But after watching game one, it's pretty obvious the Heat are undermatched, even on their best night. Overmatched, underwhelmed, whatever.
Overwhelmed.
I'm saying it the way I want to say it. At any rate, I believe that at the end of the day, you know, there's just not enough that they can put out there. And unfortunately, they're going to give LeBron his fourth ring.
You don't like LeBron?
No, I don't like LeBron. I respect him as a player, but I don't. It's not my favorite thing in the world to see
him win.
Yeah, it's not really about him winning either. It's about the talks of him being the best to ever do it and how that always comes into play and how he's the best player in the world and all this and that. All of that stuff, you know, his talent is there. I respect that. His accolades at this point, obviously, side by side with the talent, it's second to none in most scenarios. But I don't think his accolades alone prove to be better than those of Michael Jordan, the best player to ever play the game. Now, at any rate, though, I love to see good basketball matchups. And I think that's the most disappointing part of this year's finals is – after watching game one, I don't think that it's a serviceable matchup.
Yeah, if I could piggyback and then add, I agree because their top three guys got hurt in game one. Like, literally, the three best players got hurt, the three leading scorers. I think each guy that got hurt led their team in scoring in a series in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And it looks like Goran isn't coming back at all, for sure. I don't really – shit, I don't think they could have lost either of those three. So, and Bam is talking about he's scared of needles. I just don't understand grown men being scared of needles, but whatever. And so I think they're done before they got started, but if that hadn't happened and they just got smoked, that happens all the time in the finals, actually. I think I had it going six, and I would have kept it at that, pending some adjustments. Spo's not a really good in-game adjuster. So I really, you know, once I get Nick Lee smoked, wasn't really expecting them to make some big push, you know what I'm saying, especially with the guys down. So, if I may, after Marcus talks, I do want to address some of what Reggie said about the LeBron and the greatest all-time thing.
And one thing I wanted to add on the Ant's point, too, is I, you know, like I said, I anticipated it going to seven games. And in that, I didn't really, you know, at that point, I didn't really have a dog in the fight on who would win. But I picked the Heat winning because of the underdog matchup in seven. But I knew that there's no way on this God's green earth that if they lose game one, or I figured that if they lost game one, especially the way they did, then that's pretty much the writing's on the wall right there. I figured they had to win game one to make a statement. And they didn't do that, which now it's putting the same mantra on game two with extra emphasis. You have to win game two or it's over. It's that 99% chance gets even higher. But anyway, carry on.
To me, it was just a sloppy game overall. It started out really well. for the Heat's end, but it was sloppy on the Lakers' end. And mm-hmm. Lakers were down by 6 and then by like 8.
12 or something like that, right?
And then 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got up to 13.
Yeah, I'm talking about on 3 separate occasions. Like they started like, they tied it up, and then they got like down 8, and then they tied it up, and then they were down 13, and then they came and took like what, a 12-point lead? Something like that. They ended
up. Yeah, it was a.
Never look back.
A full 25-point swing and.
Right. So.
Demoralizing.
It was like really sloppy back and forth games, and it just didn't look like. It wasn't good basketball, which kind of. You know, it was kind of pissing me off because, like, I was like, yo, this is the NBA Finals. This should be, like, the best of the best duking it out. If it's going to be back and forth, let it be some niggas are doing some amazing shit, not some niggas just look stupid as hell. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But end of the game, and then especially when Dragic went out, they just lost all sorts of direction on offense. Never really imagined that. You know, as deep as this team has appeared throughout the playoffs, that one injury would seem to derail them so poor, you know, so bad to where they played so poorly. But hopefully, Kendrick Nunn finally got some play time. You know, first team all rookie in the regular season, but ever since he got COVID and he came back, he hasn't been playing well at all. And he's basically been on
boo boo.
Yeah, he's been on the coach DNP list in the bubble.
Which makes sense.
Maybe he gets Gorin back.
Playing his asshole.
Yeah, like maybe he gets back going and provides a little something in, you know, Dragic's absence. Like you said, Spo's not really a great in-game adjuster, but maybe he sees something going down the line that can at least help them get a game back somewhere down the line. I originally had it in 6, but now I think it's 5 or sweep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hate to change my stance, especially going from 7 games, but at this point, it's just not looking good. And another thing, you know, adding to that is with a Cinderella team, you almost have to live in a perfect world, which the Heat are set up perfectly to succeed. But in that, they have to do the easy things. And that means people like Duncan Robinson and Kelly Olynyk have to play at their best at all times. They have to make those minutes meaningful. And losing a player like Goran Dragic and having to gamble and bet on players like Kendrick Nunn, like Kelly Olynyk, you know, like Duncan Robinson, and having budding stars like Tyler Hero, if it's not all going almost perfectly, then, again, you pretty much write the ship off. And it's just hard to imagine a scenario where they get back on track after watching game one.
I mean, I think if the other two guys are healthy, and I mean relatively, if none can just play decent, I think they got a chance to win the game or whatever. Like, I don't want to – it's the injuries for me more than anything, because if that didn't happen and they got beat like this, I would think nothing of it. I would take it as that's one game. Even I would still think what I thought at the beginning of the series, because we've seen this before, though. We've seen teams get blown out and then come back and, like, win the rest of the games, like, easy. You know what I'm saying? That shit happened, I think. I was just listening to a podcast about, I think it was fucking the Lakers and the Celtics in the 80s. Like, I think the Lakers got smoked by, like, 40 points. That's when Pat Riley was coaching the first game, and then they went in on to win that shit. Like, no problem. Because it is just one game. It's still only one loss. But I'm looking at this shit, and they're talking about Dragic and Adebayo are doubtful for game 2. So that's a wrap. Like, if Bam don't play, it's a wrap. Like, if he can't play, it's a wrap. Like, I mean play, not just be out there. He got to be able to play. But it's probably a wrap anyway. I'm going to go ahead and go with 5 now, and that's being really generous.
I think also kind of lost in everything from last night. That was far and away the best game that the Lakers supporting cast has had. Shooting, defending, you know, being consistent out there. That's the kind of things that people expected of them. You know, when they're saying, oh, they have Danny Green. He's been in the playoffs however many times, won a finals. You know, he shot lights out. Kuzma was hitting shots. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was not being a dumbass. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why I was like, it was a little bit of aberration a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But it's just those injuries. Like, but as y'all was talking about the Heat, like, Duncan Robinson only took 3 shots, dog. Like, that can't happen if you're going to win. I don't care who's hurt or not hurt. Like, that just can't happen. Like, they got to get him open, or they got to get him open, man. He got to get himself open. They got to do something, man.
It's almost like, to me, it looked like they were using him as a decoy to the biggest extent. And that works if he's not your best shooter.
Yeah. And you got, like, everybody, like, you know, everybody on deck, too. Like, you know, then it's just a 4-on-4 game. And which is cool until you need some threes, because he is your best shooter. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? And I'm looking at this roster, and I mean, it ain't even that he's your best shooter. He's kind of like one of, like, only a couple who you can really kind of rely on.
Right.
You know, so to shoot.
And I definitely think Marcus hit the head on the nail, too.
No,
is that the Heat or the Lakers supporting cast really actually proved that in the end it's really going to come down to bench play. The starting fives, in my opinion, can almost cancel each other out on their best days. Obviously, LeBron and AD take the big bulk. You know, in this finals, game on game, player to player scenario, but when you have the Heat playing, you know, not their best matchup, and the Lakers are out here playing like nobody can miss, you know, with guys who have not had the best games thus far coming out and even putting up 3 or 4 good buckets, that's also a bad tale. Like the Heat, like I said, they almost need a lot of things to go right for them and everything to go wrong for the Lakers to really put up a fight, especially if Goran Dragic, who I think is going to be out at least a game, if not more. I think he tore something in his foot, didn't he?
Plantar, whatever that thing is. He's done.
So, I mean, I just don't see it anymore. But, you know, big ups. Like big ups. I hope AD wins finals MVP. That's the hater in me talking.
No, the way he's going, he should. If it keeps going his way, he should. So, man, this is really disappointing because this was the finals that I felt like I could just relax and enjoy for the actual play. Like, not be like, oh, man, LeBron needs to win this, or I hate this fucking team, I'm tired of them winning. It was just like, yo, LeBron wins, or this team that I really fucking like, you know, and Jimmy Butler wins. And it's just disappointing that it doesn't get to be competitive. At least I don't think it's going to be. So we might be wrong when they come out firing game 2 and win that.
Yeah.
Game. But I tell you what, if they don't, we already know the series over. Like, might as well not even watch the rest of the games because the shit is over. And if they actually come out there with some fire and at least make it a close game, even if they don't win, then, I mean, you know, then that's cool, you know what I mean? But this shit sucks that, you know, it happened game 1 and shit, so.
Absolutely. I agree with you, but I hope we're wrong.
Absolutely. Definitely hope we're wrong. Oh, yeah, as far as what Reggie was saying, LeBron shit, I really think, like, I'm really so tired of I had tweeted about this, but it's like before the game is even over, game 1 in the finals over with, they're already talking about LeBron legacy. And I'm just so exhausted with legacy talk, specifically his, but everyone's. It's like, dude, that's some shit you worry about after your career is over with. You look back and be like, well, damn, how are we going to look at him? Like, the shit is over. But we they win 1 game in the finals, and we're back talking about he's better than MJ and all this other shit. I'm so tired of it, dude. Like, there's got to be other content. There's got to be other topics, man, that they can talk about in these sports. Like, get that they have to talk for like 2 hours every day, but goddamn, man.
Nah, I don't. That's like, not an excuse. That's not an excuse. I know for a fact it's if lazy. You get paid to do something of that caliber and it's something you love and something you do, there is 1,000 more things to talk about than to revert the same thing over and over. Even if you want to talk about LeBron, though.
Yeah, but you know what it is? It's like movies. You know, when you see those sequels and you know, like, yo, that could have went without sequels because people are going to watch. And so what it is, people are fucking watching ESPN and Fox when they talk about LeBron and his legacy. I guarantee you they don't want to talk about it probably either. So I don't know. I guess
I don't know, man. Watching some of the I've actually, as of late, you know, been watching a lot more SportsCenter, and watching all these shows that come on around it that have all these personalities, and they're exactly that. They're personalities. They're there run by people at the top. I don't feel like these are, at the end of the day, I don't feel like that these are not only viable topics, but these people's is real opinions. And if it is their real opinions, then it's exactly that. Their opinions on nothing that they really know anything about. Like, people don't go, they don't go research this stuff, which I like, is like you said, it's lazy. It's utterly lazy. They talk about what's hot and what's in the news. Like, this is fucking Oprah or the Good Morning America or whatever the hell. Like, no, it's simple. If you put a topic on the line, you should be able to actually talk about it, not just let's talk about, you know, what LeBron wore into the facility today and how that matches him up against Russell Westbrook's attire. And then follow it up with, oh man, LeBron won a finals today. LeBron won a finals game. Let's talk about how we were all wrong about how Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is worth the $12 million they're paying him. It's just like there's so much other things than to just look at the – it's essentially like all of them are looking at the box score and watching the back half of the game.
Yeah.
And then they're like, bet, I know what I'm talking about 8 a.m. tomorrow or at 3:30. We're going to go in hot with this LeBron take. Or, you know, it's just like, come on. So,
yeah, sometimes it really does come across like they're watching the game on the timeline or some shit. And then, like you said, just looking at the box score. And it's like what you're saying, it's just low hanging fruit. It's like, it's just like no thought into it. And I want to give them the excuse of like, oh, 5 days a week. You know what I'm saying? Every week they got to talk about something. But it's just like, God damn, dude. Like, y'all could do better than that. I know
you. I think that's the perfect analogy. Low hanging fruit. Exactly.
Like, seriously, like KCP having one good game against a team that lost the top three players. Like, that's what we're going to talk about today. Like we're going to sit here and rethink his whole, what all we just saw in the last 2 years from him because of one game. Like, that's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that's ridiculous. That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
We got Rondo hitting threes now.
Rondo has always been a consistent 3-point shooter in the playoffs. Stat check it. He's always hung his head around in the fucking playoffs. Anyway, though, I have one last thing to add on this. Skip Bayless made an interesting point the other day. Like I said, I've just been watching all this random shit. I couldn't believe I watched an episode of Skip and Shannon yesterday.
Shit. I remember the last time I watched a whole, even half an episode of any of the shows.
Seriously. He did make a point, though. He said, when it comes to LeBron and Jordan in the conversation, we might as well just leave the finals out of it at this point because statistically it's over. One went 6-for-6 and one has already lost 9 times.
That was the team.
Right.
So, like,
right.
But that's the whole time, though, you're just
putting the whole time anything you put into their legacy, though, it's really more so about the team. People try to throw in the team under the fact, they try to put the player in front of the team and make it seem like the player had helped the team more so than the player was on the team that did it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I feel like when we talk about players, we should talk about the players. You know what I'm saying? But it does. Context is who's around that player. You know what I'm saying? I think that is part of the context. But, like, at the end of the day, a player can only do but so much. You know what I'm saying? No matter how good you are. And that's why I think that whole ring thing is stupid. But I think it's stupid.
Word to Kevin Durant. I said word to Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I think it's stupid to compare eras anyway, man. Like, just compare people that were in the era they were in. Michael Jordan's the best in his era easily. It's not even close. Same thing with LeBron. Bam. Cool. Because you know what? Like, the other day, what I realized is people be throwing, like, old heads, they'll throw, like, Bill Russell or somebody like that. And I found out Bill Russell was playing and got all the championships with, like, 8 teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck out of here. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then for, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it don't make sense to compare errors. Like, because Bill Russell, you could be like, all right, Bill Russell, he dominated. Bill Russell, like 6'7". Bill Russell would be like a fucking 3 right now. So then, like, how can I compare him to Shaq? That makes no sense. Because Shaq would destroy him. You know what I'm saying? Like, we doing hypotheticals and who's a better, like, come on, man. Like, so it's just like, it don't make sense to do it. And the game is played differently for each era. You know what I'm saying? It's played differently. So, Phoenix Suns were supposed to be this game-changing offense. And what was they? What's that whole, like, stat where if they did their pace, now they'd be, like, the slowest team or, like, the third slowest team in the league or some shit like that? So, it's just, like, that just proves it makes no sense to even try
to
do
that. Yeah, things change so rapidly. Fucking 15 years
basically
ago.
Like, every 6 years or something. Maybe every 6 to 8 years.
I honestly would go as far as to say like 4. Maybe because, I mean, it's really, again, and this goes back full circle to what you were just proving too. It's about the players. You know, every couple years, you know, you could almost say that every 4 years there is someone that has come out of each draft or less that has drastically made a huge difference in the NBA. And I think that's all going back to how fast and how rapidly it changes, because these people follow different ideologies as they're coming up and growing up and playing. And the more of them that become one in the NBA and how that becomes popular just drastically changes it. Like, for instance, Steph Curry and what he's done now, what he's still doing, you know, he's already made his mark on his play. His play has already become the hot thing of the NBA. Now his play is completely, everyone's taken their own spin on it. And now players coming up, it's not even about, you know, Steph Curry anymore, you know, but that almost felt like it was 2-3 years ago. They were just 3 out of 5 in the finals less than 2 years ago. Yeah, that's already phased out and gone, but it's still left its mark and its change on the NBA.
Yeah. What's next, boss?
Well, sticking with the NBA, we got a couple had a couple big coaching changes. We talked last time Billy Donovan was out in Oklahoma City, which was supposedly a mutual split. He's now up in Chicago. After he said he didn't want to go through a rebuilding, whatever.
Yeah, but they're already on the way up. I think that's different. Like, OKC is about to tear that shit completely down.
Absolutely.
And then start over. So they're like, the Bulls are like 3 years ahead of them, probably.
Yeah, still about 3 years from being any kind of good, too. So.
Yeah, but
nobody knows if Levine's even going to stay, so.
Yeah, but I think that's different than, like, it's different to walk into a team with Kobe White and what's that dude name? Mark Cannon, or however you say his name, and Levine, and there's probably some other guys I'm forgetting up there. And so you can see the potential. Whereas OKC, whatever they just did and whatever they have right now, you don't even know who's going to be there. Because Chris Paul's probably not going to be there. Hopefully they keep what's his name? Shay? Something Alexander, whatever his name is. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Him. And everybody else is probably, like, could be gone. You know what I mean? Not saying they're all going to be gone, but I'm saying could easily be gone. And so that's a lot different. Like, I think that's a lot different from you walk into a team with KD and Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? And even you pull this season out your ass. And then they tell you, hey, man, we're going to get rid of everything that's good for the most part, and we're just going to start over. As opposed to, hey, man, this team, man, they looking like, man, in a few years they could be something, man. And you could see it. You could actually see it. It's not even like a theory of, well, a phantom player that might be here 2 years from now. It's like actual guys that are here. So
point,
I think it's a big difference.
Point taken. So Billy Donovan's going up there to that situation. And the other big coaching move was the Clippers decided to move on from Ashy Voice, Doc Rivers. And he's allegedly supposed to be in line to sign him with the Philadelphia 76ers. You guys' Woo. Takes on that? Because
where'd D'Antoni go?
D'Antoni? hopefully to ESPN or TNT.
Yeah, I thought he might have. It's crazy, but I don't. Yeah, I don't know if Doc's the right guy for that. I don't know who is, but it seems as though Doc isn't actually like good with chemistry, and like, well, I can't say that with Boston. He brought those guys together
at first.
You know what I'm saying?
I think, but they, I guess, were pretty tight as far as chemistry wise.
Yeah,
that Who's first that? Clippers team, I think they were pretty tight.
I thought they hated each other. It was like CP3, DJ, and Blake. All three of them had a problem with each other at some point or something like that. Pretty sure that's like some shit that was known, I thought.
I didn't know if it was at the time, but I knew after the fact they had some words. But
yeah, I don't know. I might be wrong.
Hey, I don't know these niggas, so I could be wrong.
You know what I'm saying? But it just seemed like Doc Rivers, he's a good coach and all that. I don't know, man. I just don't see that situation, because I think the situation is already shaky already. But I guess you would have to bring in like a vet coach, if anybody, to fix that. Because I don't think Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid actually fuck with each other. Like, I think that shit kind of shows when they play. And then that roster is all fucked up. Like, it's constructed fucked up already. So I'm not excited about it. I'm not excited about him going there.
I mean, he's put in another situation where he can win early. He's going to win games. This is not a bad team. They have a horrible roster. Not roster, but they have a horrible contract situation with Horford.
No, it's a roster. Shit don't make sense.
Yeah, they have Horford. They got Tobias Harris eating up a whole bunch of contract space. They're going to have to make a decision between Embiid and Simmons, I think, off that alone. And just because it's going to be what's best basketball-wise.
They're going to go Embiid.
I think they should go Embiid, but I would understand if they went Simmons just from an injury perspective. I say that as Simmons missed the season due to injury, but Embiid has had more persistent injury history. So I would understand really either or, but I probably would go Embiid just because he's proven himself to be more reliable. When it matters. Like, if you need a bucket, Embiid will get you a bucket. On defensive end, he's not as good as Ben Simmons is rated, I guess, but I've seen on defensive end, you know, he's willing to put himself on the line to go get a stop, too.
Yeah. I would love to see Joel Embiid in shape for once, like real shape. Because I don't think he ever has been.
But what's it going to take for him to get to that point? Who's going?
Yeah, man, he might not ever be his body might not let him too. That might be what it is. Because I feel like if he didn't have the injuries and he was in shape, like, he'd be at another level. Like, the level I feel like everyone thinks he should be at, and it's kind of why we look at him like, what the fuck? Even though he has shown up in the playoffs, like, you're right, but. Then there's times where it'll have, like, it'll show up and then disappear right after.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a Kawhi super bounce of the rim away from being in the NBA, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, you know? So, yeah, I think he more than did his part for that team last year in the playoffs. This year it was kind of, obviously, this whole situation has been weird, and they were shorthanded without Simmons. But I feel like Doc can at least has the pieces to work with. And I feel like he's the guy that if there is a decision to be made, he can make that decision. They allow him that freedom to. But you know, some people don't want to be the one to make that decision. But it is what it is.
I think you unlock a new cog and a whole new piece in both scenarios if one leaves. But I really would have to bet more so on Ben Simmons being the better benefactor of the departure of Joel Embiid or going somewhere else where a team is fully invested into building around him and not the both of them or something of that nature. And I also don't think Doc Rivers is the answer to the Sixers' problems, especially in a scenario with both of them there or trading, because you know, the basketball rules would say that we're going to command something very heavy for either one of these players to come back in. So at any rate, you know, I think the last time we saw Doc Rivers in a scenario like this, and each time prior to that as well, it didn't pan out. It got blown up before it got better. The one time where it was a constant was in Boston, and even then, I think that was more so the fucking, you know, you couldn't have blown that chance. They all stuck together in it, but it all came out afterwards that most of them weren't happy in the scenario anyway. So I just don't see him being the answer. I don't think he's going to fix their problems.
He might not fix the problems, but I understand, like, if you were to stick with somebody like Ben Simmons, what's the difference between building around Ben Simmons and building around Giannis?
Yo, I was actually, when Reggie was talking, I was thinking, like, and he was talking about if you trade one of them, it might, like, unlock something actually in both. Is, yo, your scenario, it might unlock
exactly Giannis.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking, like, when you were saying that.
I think the difference is minimal.
About James,
honestly, I think you're almost unlocking a building scenario of the same player, or you look at it as such. But the one big, yeah, I think the biggest difference would probably be is you could use Ben Simmons more as a Luka than you could a Giannis. Obviously, without the 3-point shooting ability, but I'm talking about the ball handling ability. I'm talking about the actual true one ability. Giannis can pass, Giannis can run, he can handle the ball, fair. But he's not someone I'm looking at that's going to command my offense. Luka Doncic does, Ben Simmons can, hell, even Nikola Jokic can.
Okay. And you don't see that out of Embiid. Yeah. Like, you can't.
Absolutely not.
Your offense through him.
Absolutely fair. Not. That's the big thing, in my opinion.
I think you can, but yeah, I think it's possible for Ben Simmons to be that guy just because I think of like James Harden, and maybe it's a little easier to see in retrospect, like that he would be what he is when he went to Houston, when he was in OKC. But I thought he was crazy at first, like that he would like pass up on staying there for a little bit of extra money.
Me too.
How I looked at it. Even though over time it's a lot of money, but you know what I'm saying? It ain't my money to say it's a little. But anyway, I thought he was crazy, but then I think he scored like 50 points like his first game, and I was like, oh shit. And then it was like another 50 or 40, and I was like, God damn. So that made me more believe like some guys maybe a guy a lot more. But then it's funny, I was listening to JJ Redick's podcast and I was like catching up on some of them, and it was one with D'Angelo Russell. And, you know, he was talking about the guys he played with at high school. And, you know, I knew he played with Ben Simmons, but he was talking about that. And they brought up something about him shooting. And it was like, yeah, he used to shoot in, like, high school and shit like that. And it's just like, yo, I think that dude got a mental thing with that. And until he get over that, man, if he does. But if he does.
That can't be the best player. My best player cannot have a mental thing to get over.
Yeah, no, I feel you, Marcus. I'm with you on that, dog. Because you can't be sitting and waiting around forever, being like, "Yo, I hope he gets over this shit." You know what I mean?
Like I don't know. LeBron had that. No disrespect to him. I like Ben Simmons. I would take him on my team 10 times out of 10. But as my best player, I need you to at least have. If you're gonna be bad, dude, or if you're gonna be not as good, don't let it be because you stopping yourself. Like, be bad because you're doing. Be a Russell Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? That's some shit that I heard about Kemba.
Yeah, I read though.
Kemba would sometimes stop himself.
And then
he stopped doing it. Then he was bad still anyway sometimes. But I was like, at least he's not stopping himself. He's not shooting 6 times a game because he doesn't think he can score. That shit pissed me off.
But, I mean, these aren't facts. We don't know this. And I won't go as far as to say that it's a mental confinement.
No, he's seeing the sports side. No, No, he's seen a sports psychologist. It's like a known thing. You could probably Google that shit. Or they've talked about it.
But is that directly attributed to his shooting?
Yes, yes. It, from what I remember, is because that's why they were talking about it. Like, I'm pretty sure I've heard multiple on multiple platforms, like on podcasts, on whatever shows, them talk about that shit. Like him seeing a sports, just like when LeBron choked against Dallas, and it was like, "Yo, he's seeing a sports psychologist and all that."
The
shit.
Last thing I see about this, he saw one, but he's okay. It looks like he's, I don't know, whatever. I would have to look more into it, but that's interesting as hell. So I'll just look more into that topic because that's wild.
Dude, as soon as before you even get Ben Simmons sports, like psychologist comes up and there's like there's articles. Like there's recent ones.
Well, yeah, the one in July is what I saw just now. So I'll look into it.
That's just a quick search, but yeah. Yeah, let's do
all right,
that.
So
let's
NFL is kicked off. We're going into week four, wrapping up the first quarter of the season. First of all, before we get into it, I just wanted to just talk about this because I know this directly affects Reggie. The week four Steelers and Titans game has been postponed indefinitely, I guess, to some later point of the season. They'll work that out because the Titans have had numerous positive cases of the coronavirus. Reggie, how are you feeling about that affecting your team?
You know, I really am upset only at the sheer fact that I don't see how this could have come to the point where now it's pretty much the Steelers' problem. It sucks, and I know that you have to be prepared, and I think that although they may have not made the same decision I would have made, ultimately, I guess they made the one you kind of have to. But this also adds so many questions to what happens next when the next team gets this and it happens again. And, you know, not everyone has a optimal scenario like the Steelers where more than likely this game is going to be swapped in our week 8 bye, something of that nature. And we will swap that in our Ravens game since us and the Ravens both have a week 7 play and a week 8 bye. So that just means that we just have to play 13 straight games, which, again, I don't know how this is our problem. That's the only thing I'm really upset at. But Mike Tomlin came out as recent as about an hour ago and said, we don't care. We'll be ready. So I'm going to have to ride with my coach.
All right. My personal opinion, I think that if there is a central team that is like the hub of the problem, that team just needs to forfeit the game. Like, fuck the runaround shit.
That was my original thought, but apparently
you can't
that's
play because your players did this, and I know it sounds harsh or whatever, but if you're causing the league grief and it's solely your fault, like, we're not even talking about, like, okay, so I mean, I know that sounds a little, like, might sound a little harsh, because especially, like, they just played the Vikings this weekend. And if the Vikings had contracted it from them, and then the Vikings couldn't play, then be like, oh, were you going to punish the Vikings the same way? To me, it would be like, no, I saw something, and it's not necessarily true, because it got tweeted and deleted, but I've seen a few people say that the Titans knew they had a positive test, played anyway, because it was just one person, allegedly, like on Saturday. And then the rest of this started blowing up on Monday morning after the games. So if that were true, I would definitely just hammer the team and be like, look, you just lose a game, or however many games that you're going to lose, you just forfeit them, because that's jeopardizing the league as a whole. That's an example I would be comfortable with the league setting on a team.
I absolutely agree. And that was the stance I came in with originally when it first came about. But it seems clear that that's the last thing they want to do in terms of forfeiting, because next week could be the same, or, you know, we could go 3 more weeks without it. And then week 9, we have the same thing. And then, you know, possibly by week 17,
come playoff time, we have 5-6 teams now disqualified because it can't be contained or some shit like that. And, you know, the world would raise all hell and split in half if one of those teams became the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Patriots, you know? So I think that's why they're trying to take this approach as to let's just let it play out as far as possible, knowing that, you know, we have pretty much as much time as we need to figure out when this game will be played. But for now, let's just work on quarantining the teams at cause and condemning, you know, what they've got going on.
So far, I haven't heard any news of positive results out of Minnesota after their game. So that's some positive news, you know, that, or I actually saw that originally they got all negative on, I think it was Wednesday. So hopefully it doesn't, you know, do the whole team to team spread this the way that it did in the NBA, and shut down that season early. But yeah, other than that, who are your guys' first 3 weeks MVP candidates? I know we talked about it a little bit in person when we were here in my apartment watching the games, but just want to hear your guys' takes on it again right now.
Russ. Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to think about that third one.
I'm gonna slide in and easily say Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to honorable mention Josh Allen here. And the only reason why I'm not going to put him, leapfrog him above Aaron Rodgers is simply because Aaron Rodgers is doing what most people would have written him off to have done at this point. And he's proving most, especially me, wrong in the sense that, I mean, he hasn't gone anywhere. First round receivers are not that. That dude is balling. He looks more comfortable than ever. He says he's more comfortable than ever. So I love it. And it's obvious that Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes are just in their own leagues. I don't think Josh Allen is doing anything to be written off yet. But I also know for a fact that the cards are not in his favor to continue at this pace that he's doing.
Yo, I just don't understand the Josh Allen thing, because this dude has fumbled. Like, I just,
well, here's a fun stat for you. Like, over the past 17
games,
33-3.
MVPs.
But how many times has he fumbled this season? What dumb shit?
Don't be doing dumb shit like that.
I really would like to see some film.
Like going backwards and throwing the ball over.
I've watched all three Bills games this season in full extent, and it's and not anything to be for him to be written off for. I'm sorry. There's nothing this season.
It's not about writing him off.
Well, I know. Nothing to be for him to be written off from the MVP race. I just think that there are three guys ahead of him. He's definitely my fourth, though.
To me, Josh Allen has always been extremely overrated, like severely overrated. Jeez. But this season, the first three games, he's been doing things with the help of, you know, Stephon Diggs and John Brown that I didn't think that was in the cards for him for another 3-4 years. He's never thrown for 300 yards. See, he's done it twice.
See here?
He's thrown for 4 touchdowns in the game twice.
See, here's the thing. When people are horrible, when they start playing like good.
But when was he ever horrible? He was never horrible. That's the thing. No, absolutely not.
He was never horrible? Dude overthrows his receiver.
Absolutely not. That's a false stat. That, sir.
Okay. I don't have the exact yardage and the exact ranking, but this dude
No, I think it's just broadcasted all the time. A lot of quarterbacks do that. I think I do agree.
I do agree
that there's a huge stigma around Josh Allen where the only highlights that are in the news and the media are bad highlights.
And then he does a lot of reckless ass shit. I'm not talking about you going for like a touchdown or some shit like that. I'm talking about like just having a ball all out. Like Like he don't play football, dog. Like he don't know that somebody will rock his ass, and he's lost the ball a lot of times like that. And then now that he's playing like a NFL quarterback, it's like now he's in the MVP race. No, he's playing good. I'll salute him on that. And I'm not talking about writing him off, but as far as MVP,
I mean,
you gotta show me a little more, dog, before I can say that. If we were talking about most improved player or something like that, like if they had that, and we're talking about through like the first few weeks, then I'd be riding with him on that. But as far as like MVP, I don't think so. But hey, maybe I'm hating. I don't know.
I'd say let it play out.
Cause I think whatever his numbers are, there's probably another quarterback that got them same numbers too on another team.
I would like to disagree. I think that it's actually opposite. I think that if you compare his numbers with who you would call an MVP candidate, you will find that his numbers might just be better.
Okay. I know what he – I also know those guys are doing some of the goofy ass shit that dude does.
I just need to know more about this goofy stuff.
I mean, I'm sorry I didn't have a Josh Allen package ready for the podcast. I just got told about it.
Hey, same here, bud. I'm just saying. I've watched the games, and just like Marcus said, there's been a lot of concern going into Josh Allen. This year, don't see it. He's corrected a lot of wrongs. And just to go out there on that last thing that I was just telling you about, you've got 67%, 898 yards, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions. On the other end, you've got 71%, 1,038 yards, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. Nah, but I just told you. I just told you on the back end. You just tried to back me up.
Hey, man, you got it. You got it, brother. You got it, brother. You right.
Come on, man. You don't. You're not.
You got it, dog. Josh Allen. Come on, man.
Watch the film. That's all I'm going to tell you because you don't watch the games.
No, I am going to watch. I am going to watch.
Let's move on. Or what are your MVP candidates, Marcus? This dude don't watch the film.
Hey, that's my homework for this week. Hey, man, that's my homework for this week. I'm going to come back with a whole report. Josh Allen.
Yes, sir.
Next time we record. I'm being serious.
For me, if I had to give three MVP candidates, it has to be clearly Russell Wilson. I think he's my number one. I think Patrick Mahomes is a strong, strong second, and I would actually put Josh Allen at three. And that's solely off the strength of in exceeding expectations kind of deal. Kind of the same thing you said about Aaron Rodgers, but about how they've written him off to do it. But it's Aaron Rodgers, so it's like, are you really surprised that Aaron Rodgers can, throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, no picks? No, not really. Like, maybe surprised that he's doing it still at, like, 36, 37 years old or whatever he is. But Josh Allen, before the season, had never thrown over 300 yards. Had never thrown a 300-yard game. He's done it, like, twice. And he still has not thrown a pick. He's second in the league in yards.
33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions since week 5 last season.
Oh, my bad. He's 10.
Quarter brick, half a brick.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, as far as, like, it's kind of like a dark horse can. I think he's, firmly in third behind the first two that I put in front of him. But I think it's just a decent story to talk about coming up through the season, something to follow. Because, like I said, he's a guy that I did not see much of anything for. And then you could also maybe, poke at the competition too. Like, that's something that I think you can also say is fair, that he did so against the Jets, Dolphins, and the Rams have a good defense.
Don't look now, but Miami actually has been playing at a top-tier level in the passing game this season. But I do agree, it does mean a lot about who you're playing, and that's another part of why I say, the jury is definitely still out as to what kind of candidate he is. But I definitely am not on the boat of saying that he is nothing short of, right now, a top 15 quarterback in the NFL and moving up, moving at a very fast pace.
I don't really know if that's saying much. So.
Top 15. That's saying a lot considering quarterback play and what you've got in the NFL, I would think. If you look at the...
I don't think it's that many good quarterbacks.
Opinions are opinions. What's next? Unless you want to harp on this for a second, because I'm down.
Ain't that what we're here for, to give our opinions?
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Marcus?
I sound like something was tapping. It was, like, really loud. It's done. It's whatever. So I was going to say the Falcons, they have blown two leads 2 weeks in a row, reminiscent of their Super Bowl collapse to the Patriots. Why is Dan Quinn still employed?
Yo, I want to know, man. He must got some pictures of somebody doing something. I don't know. Reggie, why is he still employed, man? Why is he
Again, jury's still out. You know, you can look at the past and pin things on him as much as possible. And I mean, I can too. I don't think I would have not fired him yet. But it's also a testament of, well, if you look at who we've played these first three games, if you look at what's kind of unfolded, yeah, there's some serious game planning issues, but also we've put up, what, 39, 40, 30 points. We've given up a good bit on the back half, but we've known going into this that the Falcons' defense was paper thin. Again, there's a lot to blame on Dan Quinn. There's a lot you can blame on a lot of other scenarios. I think the jury's also still out. Now, do I think the Falcons will be good? Absolutely not. They're a bad team. But again, can't really put that solely on Dan Quinn.
Blowing two second half leads, one to a backup court. Now, the one to the Cowboys, they were overmatched. Like, that was a 20-point lead in the first quarter that they got. That was unexpected. The Cowboys, I think everyone would rate them far and away as the better team. Easily, like, with that offense going against that defense, they should have put up the number that they eventually did. I don't think too many people were overly surprised. I mean, I expected a comeback to happen. I said in the second quarter, like, they're going to collapse. It was more so funny watching the onside kick debacle, them not knowing the rules that they could touch it at 7-8 yards instead of watching it roll to 10 and letting the Cowboys get it. That was funny. Super Falcons moment. But, yeah, but you got this past week that we watched, you were up 26-10? And you let Nick Foles come in the game and close y'all out? Come on now.
Maybe Nick Foles really is God. Hey, I was, you know, man, I was pissed when we were watching that. I couldn't believe that they took Mitchell out. Couldn't believe that I was going to have to go the rest of the week hearing all this Nick Foles is the comeback God of the year crap. And then I went back and watched the film, and he did make some really good passes. And the one thing that I'd like to note the most, which kind of sucks for Mitchell Trubisky, but does matter, especially in football, the rest of the team seemed a lot more locked in when Nick Foles was out there. There were just people open for no reason. That could be a testament to Nick Foles. That could also be a testament to the Falcons' defense. What I will say, though, is if they continue to play like that, the Bills or the Bears could continue to make some noise. And the Falcons are just bad. You know, they could be tanking for all I know. This could be their way of tanking, is showing everybody, hey, we can still score a shit ton of points, but we would like Trevor Lawrence to do that for us next year.
Hmm. All right, and that's going to open up to my next question. So we got a few teams in the league that are really, really bad, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they're all really, really bad, knowing that Trevor Lawrence is the most hyped quarterback prospect coming into the draft since probably Andrew Luck. So, with that being said, who do you think has the best chance of winning the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes?
And I'll let you toss this one up first.
Because I'm about to read off the teams to choose from. Clearly, there's the Jets, 0-3. There's the Broncos, 0-3, who are just been decimated by injuries. It's actually really sad to see them go down like that. The Bengals are 0-2-1. Yeah, we're going to talk about that tie, too, in a second, because that should piss me off. The Texans, 3. The Broncos,
Who's the team before the Broncos?
I said the Jets, the Broncos, the Bengals are 0-2-1. The Texans are 0-3. The Eagles are 0-2-1. The Giants are 0-3.
Yo, you know who might do that? The Eagles.
The Vikings are 0-3.
That would be funny.
The Falcons are 0-3. So, as of right now, that's, what, 6 teams that are winless?
Yeah, I think
8 teams that are winless right now and leading the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. And I would say of them, 6 of them could use a quarterback. The Texans in the Texans are clear no on the quarterback. And the Bengals,
I don't know about that.
Cincinnati.
The Bengals.
I'll rephrase that. I don't think they're – I think they might be clear no on a quarterback, but I don't think they're clear no on the number one pick. As in obtaining the worst spot in the NFL, which is what we're talking about, right? Oh, that's going to go number one. If you get number one, you're not just going to draft someone worse and lose that. You're probably going to trade that pick.
All right, well, okay. We're talking about going the worst to draft Trevor Lawrence. Intentionally. And I was saying, of those 8 teams, I don't think the Bengals would, and I don't think the Texans would. But everyone else is free game. Yeah, also, shout out to the NFC East, where the division leader is the Washington football team at 1-2. Shout out Wendell.
That just sounds funny. Yeah, shout out to him. Hopefully he'll be back soon, nigga.
But, yeah. Who do we feel like is going to win that sweepstakes? To me, I put money on the Jets. They just aren't built to win. Adam Gase hates his players. The players hate Adam Gase. The ownership sucks. It's a perfect storm to ruin another quarterback.
Yes. Let it be Trevor Lawrence. If it's going to be.
Reggie, who do you think wins the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes?
The Falcons.
You think the Falcons are going to intentionally take? I think they can win some games, man, like you said, with that offense.
Yeah, but looking at how it transpired, I think that they are the most assured to just not want to win games. Like you said, it's all pretty much there for the Falcons, but if we're actually being completely honest, this could be the best thing that's ever happened to them. Matt Ryan's on his way out the door. Julio Jones is also on his way out the door. Sorry, Falcons fans. You know, the best thing that could happen right now is a full,
what up, Ben?
Massive makeover. And if I'm being completely honest, the Falcons don't really have an easy going. They play the Packers on Monday, following that up by a Panthers team who I don't think is bad. We already know the division they're in, so they're going to have to see the Buccaneers twice, the Saints twice. And then along with that, I mean, you've got some matchups, but they also play the Chiefs and the Chargers, so they're playing the AFC West. Only bad team out of that is the Broncos, and they're not even bad. You know, they just have a shit ton of injuries. So I really think the Falcons could go winless, especially given what we've seen. Yeah, they can score a lot of points, but it's almost a sure thing that they're going to give up a lot of points too. And they can't close out games.
Clearly.
So, I mean, at this point, I have to put my money on them. I would love to say the Jets, but I don't think that brass up there, I don't think they would make it as far as 0-16 or 1-, you know, I think it's really going to have to be less than 2 wins. And I'm actually anticipating someone going completely winless. And I just don't think the Jets will do that. they don't have an easy or a hard enough going to do that. You know? Yeah, I think they could win fucking tonight. That would throw that all out the window. So,
while they could win tonight just because the Broncos are decimated, I don't really believe in any 0-16 teams. Even the years that we've had 0-16 teams, I didn't necessarily predict that would happen just because, you know, all these guys are professionals, man. They all work to get to the top level of the game. They're all good, like, relative to everybody else in the world. They're all good players. Now, relative to each other, obviously, some are better than others or worse than others, so they can stink. But you got to think, just from a competitive nature, they're going to go out there and try to win one game. The players are concerned about tanking. Then I was trying to, you know, had this discussion with Panthers fans on Twitter, talking about how we're going to win two games this year or whatever, or them laughing when I said, oh, I think we might win four. I was like, nigga, you're sitting here trying to clown me because I said we're going to win four games. You're like, with this roster? I was like, yeah, we just won a game this week that we weren't supposed to win because why? Niggas are going to fucking try. Simple as that. The niggas are going to fucking try to win, so they're going to win some games. So that being said, I think one or two games might be the floor for the rest of the league. So I think you can get away with winning one game if you're the Jets, like a game like tonight against the Broncos, which I do have them winning, and still be, you know, play for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. I think the Vikings would be interesting. You know, they have Dalvin Cook. They have a couple young receivers. You know, they got Justin Jefferson. They got Thielen under contract. I think if I was Trevor Lawrence and I had to pick somebody to tank for me, I think that might be the most ideal situation. They're 0-3 right now. They're going to have to face they still have to face the Packers again. They have to face the Bears both times. The Lions are kind of up in the air. They're not really good, but they might win a few games, stay better than them. So, if there's a team that I want to intentionally tank for me, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, probably Minnesota.
As much as it looks like a good idea for me, I just wouldn't be able to trust Minnesota. Minnesota's never made good with their promise as far as you look at their roster and you're like, damn, dude, they're going to be good this season. And well, you know what happens next.
Well, Kirk Cousins' fully guaranteed $83 million contract expires this year. It's a 3-year deal. It's the last year.
It doesn't go into 2021?
Unless they extended him and I didn't know it.
Well, if that's the case, then hell yeah.
I think because it was 2019, 2020, but I can fact check that real quick.
I don't know. I was just looking at it earlier. I think it goes into 2021. There's 2 years left, yeah.
Oh, they did extend it.
2 years and 66 mil left on that thing.
Yeah, they gave him an extension after. Yeah, that's right. They gave him an extension after the playoff thing.
Which, at any rate, though, you got to look at that and just wonder how the hell some of these teams get to 0-3.
Well, 0-3 is not the end of the world. There's a lot of football left. We're just getting into wrapping up the first quarter of the season. So with that, I guess we'll go ahead and make our week 4 game picks. I have all of our game picks recorded. I'm going to tally them up and I'm going to post them and we're going to start keeping track of them publicly. So far, I know that I'm doing okay. Reggie's doing probably the best of us and Ant's doing, I think, better than me.
Well,
I know you didn't put one in, but you'll go. All right.
I'll go. I got Jets over Broncos. Cardinals over Panthers. Bears over Colts. I'm gonna go Jags over Bengals. Cowboys over Browns. Saints over Lions. Seahawks over Miami. Bucks over Chargers. Ravens over Washington team. I got, shoot, I'm going to go Texans over Vikings. So, yeah, that game is postponed. Rams over Giants. Chiefs over Patriots. Niners over Eagles. Packers over Falcons. And then, sorry, I'm going to go Bills over Raiders. Yeah, got me. And Josh Allen. You know what I'm saying? So,
All right. I'll go next. So I got the Jets over the Broncos. Got the Colts over the Bears. Jacksonville over Cincinnati. Cowboys over the Browns. Saints over the Lions. Seahawks over the Dolphins. Buccaneers over the Chargers. Ravens over the football team. Cardinals over the Panthers. Texans over the Vikings. Rams over the Giants. Patriots over the Chiefs. Bills over the Raiders. Eagles over the 49ers. And Green Bay over Atlanta. By a lot. A lot.
Word.
And we got, if you want to talk about some of the picks, I'm more than open to afterwards.
All right. So, hey, make sure what you cut the that hell out, was you Marcus? No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, make sure.
All right.
Talk about it, man. Denver, no, after you make your pick, yeah. You talk about it.
I got Denver over New York. I got Chicago over the Colts. The Bengals over the Jaguars. The Browns over the Cowboys. Saints over the Lions. Seahawks over the Dolphins. Buccaneers over the Chargers. Ravens over the football team. Cardinals over the Panthers. The Vikings over the Texans. Whenever they do play, Pittsburgh over Tennessee. Kansas City over New England. The Bills over the Raiders. 49ers over the Eagles. And the Packers over the Falcons. And we will see a third week of maybe not a 15-point deficit, but I guarantee the Falcons will turn some heads at the beginning of this game, and Aaron Rodgers will have to come save the day.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Pickup Podcast. Find us on Twitter at @pickup_podcast. Find us on Instagram @pickup_podcast. Find us on Facebook @the Pickup Podcast. Get at us.